This show is brought to you by MTN. For your everyday moves, try this new MTN app. MTN, SA's best network.
I'm Osnathi Ndlovu, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Visit www.mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and services. We thank them for partnering with the show so we can bring you these great interviews. Artificial intelligence is having a profound impact on the way that work is done. Organizations, on the one hand, are having to redefine their processes and job descriptions to fit this new paradigm. Employees, on the other hand, are having to grapple with new tools and new ways of thinking that are changing how they approach their daily tasks. Here to speak about how this evolution is progressing in the IT sector is Anthony Makins. He is the Group COO at TForge and Chair of the Special Group on AI and Robotics at the Institute of IT Professionals South Africa. Anthony, good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Nati. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me out and having a chat today. It's really a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. Anthony, could you start by way of introduction? Could you tell us about your background as a technologist and what TForge does?
Well, I've been in business, Nati, for a lot of years, going on 36, 38 years. As you can see, I have a lot of wisdom. The grey has become silver. I, in fact, got into technology through the environment that we're sitting in, which was television broadcast engineering. But that then went on to utilization of computers for graphics. And that was the end of that. I got the technology bug bit. I then progressed into, and I'm giving my age away a little bit, in those days we didn't have PowerPoint. So I used to scan slides for corporate companies and then do 2 and 3D graphic design for them.
Okay.
And they would then use that for training and management improvement programs. So I got into technology that way. And then one of my biggest customers said to me, okay, well, you come and sell our technology. You're kind of like a marketing assistant to us. Come and sell our technology. And jumped in the deep end, selling ERP systems, knowing nothing, armed with a whole lot of brochures, but was very, very successful in that and got into, if you have a look at my LinkedIn profile, you'll see that I was a sales director for many, many, many years,
yes,
representing American software companies. Mostly in the industrial space. I moved across most segments. I've been in the commodities trade, in the manufacturing industries, FMCG, automotive. So I've got a very varied background in terms of technology and predominantly software. So
yes,
in those days it was software. Then I got into telecommunications via what was then Neotel and Liquid. I was an operations director for Westcon for 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
So I got into the telco space that way and then ended up at TForge as a shareholder, leading some amazing innovative people there. The company itself started 12 years ago in the telephony industry for contact centers.
Okay.
And they are now market leaders in that space. The technology that we provide to contact centers, we still do, but that's evolved. And it's evolved in a way that we started out with the telephone call. Well, now it's not just a telephone call. Now it's WhatsApp. Now it's social media. So the omni-channel principle then started pervading the industry.
Yes.
So we obviously provided technology for that. And it goes without saying that conversational AI was the next step.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
So these days it's not around having a telephone call or a conversation. It's having the most impactful and effective intelligent interaction, bit of a thing to get around your tongue, but it essentially just means that the way we communicate is different to the different generational elements.
Yes.
If you're speaking to a 22-year-old or 23-year-old, they'll be on the WhatsApp.
Yes,
they're not necessarily going to take a phone call. So we, you know, we provide technology that looks to all of those spaces, and with the advent of some really, really good voice technology, and we now have the great honor of representing Core.ai, which is one of the biggest AI enterprise platforms in the world. And then we also do development of our own artificial intelligence technology, predominantly in the contact center space, because we are experts in having conversations.
Yes.
And so enterprises therefore come out and have a look at our technology.
So, yes. So we're going to deep dive obviously into how artificial intelligence is then having an impact on the skills profile in the workplace. But you also chair the special group on AI and robotics at the Institute of IT Professionals South Africa. Could you tell us about that role and what that entails?
Yes. So I have also a great honor of chairing that that special interest group. And we have a couple of pillars that we see ourselves as the institute to do. And one of them is education. Mm. We're going to be talking a lot about that today.
Of course.
So I'll pass that over and we'll speak a little bit more. Mm. But also influencing not only society, but also the organizations around ethical use of artificial intelligence and robotics. Mm. We are looking to help and lead government in terms of moving on our regulation that we don't have around artificial intelligence right now.
Yes.
And if there are any of our esteemed colleagues listening to this podcast, I would encourage them to move quicker.
Okay.
Our business is international. I've just come back from Dubai. We're based in Dubai, headquarters in Dubai. And they have universities that are only for artificial intelligence, machine learning and such, data science and so on. But really, the institute feels that our government needs to move quicker. We have a 4-page framework.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything else. We need policy.
Yes.
We need governance around the ethical use of artificial intelligence.
Mm.
And my concern is that business and society are moving faster than our government around compliance.
Uh-huh.
These things need to be governed.
Yes.
And that's one of the other pillars is to try and influence government, help them, assist them, and then engage with other research institutes on artificial intelligence, robotics for that particular purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just general awareness. You know,
okay.
Most people out there today, if you ask them, what is artificial intelligence? They'll tell you that it's ChatGPT or they'll tell you that it's Gemini and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But artificial intelligence is so much more than just that.
Mm.
And it has many, many, many elements to it. So we'll get into – In principle, those are the three major things that we focus on. We get asked to come and talk and talk the world of artificial intelligence, which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part and parcel of awareness and then also education, which we'll talk about.
All right. So let's get to the core of today's conversation. We want to talk about how artificial intelligence is impacting skills in the workplace. Speaking broadly, what are the trends that you're seeing emerge?
Well, you know, it depends on who and what you read. You have the some people are telling you that the world's going to end in 2 years, right? You have that. You have a lot of layoffs, particularly in the technology industry. You're seeing that. But I don't see it that the workforce is necessarily shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's transforming.
Mm.
If you have a look at any technology that was really revolutionary in any part of our history, what you will find is that the technology didn't make people obsolete.
Yes.
But people use the technology to be more efficient, more cost-effective, et cetera. So I actually see that. So the IT workforce is not shrinking. It's transforming. It's changing. I honestly believe in the next 18 months to 24 months, if you are not educated on the basics of artificial intelligence and that you are comfortable utilizing tools beyond just the ChatGPTs and so on, then I think you are going to be found wanting in terms of employment and so on, because that is going to become a requirement. In a job description, there will be a requirement for that. So I think it's transforming, and I think people really, really need to get on board, learn, get to understand, hit YouTube.
Yes.
There are so many, many free resources today. LinkedIn, all of these social media channels and so on that offer free courses, even if it's just around awareness, jump on there and get to understand it. Because if you go to an interview for a job and you get asked, do you have any experience in machine learning or do you have any experience in any form of data science or artificial intelligence? And you say no, I can assure you. You will unfortunately be left off the shortlist.
You know, one of the best descriptions I heard was that artificial intelligence is not threatening your job, but the person who's threatening your job is the guy who is as good as you are, but also knows how to use artificial intelligence to make themselves even better.
That's 100% correct.
So, but there is a mindset shift, isn't there, between executing a task as a worker and using AI tools to perhaps orchestrate or coordinate work. Can you tell us about that shift that has had to take place?
Yeah, in fact, I'll talk about one that's very, very close to home.
Mm.
And you're seeing a lot of press about that merely because the big aggregators are putting a lot of this information into social media. If you go onto Facebook or any of the social media channels, you'll see that. You'll see the mass layoffs.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, if you want to be a computer scientist, apparently the registrations for computer scientists have gone off a cliff because people are realizing that software engineering component is actually going to diminish.
Mm.
People think it's going to disappear. It's not. I remember I told you about transformation. It will diminish.
Yes.
What does that mean? Well, if you look at software development and technologies that the aggregators are bringing out, I'm talking about the Metas and I'm talking about the Googles and so on, Google anti-gravity, you know, these are kind of technologies where you, Nighty, can actually go, as long as you can write a page of text and you can articulate in a clear, concise form, you can actually develop an app today without having any coding skill.
Mm.
All right? So software development is evolving into an AI-assisted world.
Yes.
There's still a place for data scientists. There's still a place for solution engineers and solution architects because there are underlying elements that you should understand around information technology environments and architectures and all these kind of things. I don't think that's ever going to go away. A person will still have the creative thought process around understanding what the needs are and then developing them. So the software development environment is being massively transformed. I'm not sure if you've heard of technology called IDEs.
Yes.
So an IDE, a good example of that would be Cursor. Lately, you're hearing a lot about Claude Code.
Yes.
You know, so these are technologies that in the actual code environment are assisting with checking the code, making sure that it's at a certain level, developing out something that you don't know how to develop out, or solving very complex problems. A lot of code is around algorithms and so on.
Yes.
So these IDEs help people that would be developers that are not full stack developers. You hear this word full stack, right? Back end, front end, integration in the middle, UX.
Know everything, essentially.
kind of like being able to develop just a bit, you know, top to bottom in terms of an application.
Yes.
And these individuals now are being assisted. You do not have to be a full stack developer anymore if you have an IDE that's helping you.
Yes.
So it's evolving, it's transforming. That's basically what's happening right now.
All right. Are there drawbacks? Because, for example, with the vibe coding example that you give, you know, they say, well, developers are becoming super productive. But what's happening at the same time is that they're not engaging, for example, with code as deeply as they might previously. At the junior level, it might mean that they're not getting the same level of training or expertise that they would. And this might cause... You know, I spoke to one developer who said, we have a concern that because we're not going to develop as many juniors now through the pipeline, 10, 15 years from now, when the seniors retire, there's going to be
a
cognitive gap.
I would totally agree with that. You know, there is this interesting word that has been termed in artificial intelligence called hallucinations, right? And that simply means that if a model doesn't know what to do, it makes it, it actually generates creatively something that it thinks is correct. And, and the same principle applies to code, right? So you know, that hallucinatory principle around, you know, vibe coders and so on, I would suggest the quality of software and applications that are being developed don't have the robustness. And that then talks to safety concerns, which then talks to, you know, ethical concerns, which then talks to, you know, all of the kind of things that artificial intelligence brings that is negative. So I definitely agree with that. There should always be a fine balance. I think the way that the team is comprised will change. So, you know, your typical development team, the makeup of that team is going to be different today. Mm-hmm. It's going to be less people because mm-hmm. they're obviously more productive.
Yes.
But you're still going to have to, you'll still require solution architects.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's kind of like DevOps in a way, right? It's halfway between development and operations. You need mm-hmm. to understand operations to understand what you are now going to develop. Mm-hmm. Those two worlds meet, right?
Yes.
Very, very similarly in development teams, you'll have the development lead or executive in charge of development, mm-hmm. the solutions architect, mm-hmm. and then the actual developers themselves. I think you will tend to find is that you'll have a person that is oversight mm-hmm. and less developers that are. I'm not going to say vibe coding, but are using IDEs,
yes,
and being being a lot more productive.
Okay,
I do see what you're saying being very important, however, because what does concern me a bit is that organizations are not just using IDEs to generate code; they're also using IDEs to test code. Uh-huh. Now that's the QA piece, isn't it? Right.
Yes.
And human oversight, I always believe in terms of code reviews and so on, should be in place. Uh-huh. And today I see, just practically I'm seeing it, even in our own development teams where, don't worry, I've got 20 agentic developers and...
It's all automated.
Don't worry, it's automated and it's cool and it's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you testing it? Well, I've got another 10 agentic AIs that are doing the code reviews.
Yes.
So I think there is a gap there, and I think the human oversight will always be required.
Mm. It also sounds like reading code is becoming more and more important than writing it. You'll have the tool to write it, but you need that skill to say, okay, I can read, understand, communicate with team members, fix.
I have, at the ripe old age of 59, I'm in the last throes of completing my master's in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And the last time I coded, giving my age away, was basic code.
Oh.
ZX Spectrums and Commodore 64s and Amiga 64s and so on. I mean, I've been around the block.
Mm.
You know, when I started out as a teenager, we didn't have web browsers. You had to you had to understand Linux code to be able to get to a website.
Yes.
So being having the honor of doing a master's in artificial intelligence, one of the things that amazed me is my experience in the past was not to code. I'd done BASIC many years ago, and I talked a little bit about the kind of computers that this ran on, right? BASIC was very basic, okay? But it obviously teaches you the theory and the construct, and it was good for that. But through this master's, I've had to learn to code in Python.
Yes.
And I've actually found it to be, initially it was quite a daunting task, but now I see so many practical applications in my own job where I can actually use machine learning algorithms and Python and being able to understand the Python that I'm seeing. So if I see Python, I can understand what it is. Mm-hmm. I can understand the libraries that it's accessing. I can understand the logic that it's going through. I can understand... And I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer.
Okay.
And once again, I'm going to encourage your listeners and your viewers. You don't need to be a coder to actually go and make yourself literate in this new world.
Yes.
Really, you don't. And I'm proof of that fact. If a 59-year-old can go learn Python at 59, then anyone can go and learn anything. So I really want to encourage the listeners and the viewers to get out there and do it. So, yes, being able to actually see the code, understand what the code is, at least at a rudimentary level, I think is going to be very, very important moving forward for anyone in the organization.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, the automation is going to be agentic, or it's going to be automated workflows, or is it, those kind of elements. There's always going to be some code involved at any point in the enterprise business process.
Mm.
So the ability to at least understand at a cursory level in terms of what that code is telling you, I think is important.
And then... are we far enough that we're seeing changes in the way that perhaps job descriptions are being defined? Are we seeing new roles being developed because of this new paradigm?
I mentioned it earlier on. In fact, I think that's happening immediately right now. In my experience, being around the world and engaging with CEOs and so on at fairly large enterprises, CEOs are at a tipping point, and I feel for them because their boards are putting them under a lot of pressure to deploy artificial intelligence technologies and platforms within the business to get the gains, to get those, you know, all of those efficiencies and reductions in cost and so on. So the CEO is under a tremendous amount of pressure. And this is where governance plays such an important role.
Yes.
You know, AI policy, corporate AI policy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I ask these CEOs, you know, do you have an artificial intelligence policy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have governance within your business? Where does it fall within your, you know, your construct and your enterprise?
Mm.
And so they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. So, of course, where do they go? Well, if they go to the chief of staff or the chief human resource officer and says, I need 5 developers that can vibe code tomorrow, and business, you need to give me 10 ideas where we can, you know, where we can utilize artificial intelligence. Mm. And I'm afraid to tell you, this is a startling fact. Research that's been conducted around the world indicate at an enterprise level that around 80% of artificial intelligence initiatives fail.
Mm.
They fail. Okay, so we're getting, you know, all you have all of this hype and all this kind of stuff. And the reason that that's happening, there's a few reasons.
Okay.
One of the reasons that are happening is enterprises' data stores
yes.
are very, very dispersed. So, you know, the big data principle, and it was always, well, let me do something, but I won't do it this year. We don't have the budget for it.
Uh-huh.
Well, so what ends up happening is you have all this data dispersed all over the enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence needs good, clean data, all right? So the first step, policy, governance, and then a data policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have the data in the form that you require it, then guess what? You're going to go and hire yourself some machine learning experts
yes.
or some data scientists.
Yes.
They have to do that first, and then you're on a solid foundation to then go to, you know, to deploy artificial intelligence.
Mm.
So when I speak to these CEOs, that's what I kind of ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I telling you about my experience in terms of these CEOs? Well, where do they get the staff? Where do they get the staff that are qualified to do these things? Data scientists today are very, very, very expensive to... And there aren't that many of them, okay? And this is once again where I come to government in terms of being the seed to a lot of this. In the UAE, they have universities that only teach data science, artificial intelligence, deep research, machine learning, to universities that do this. Because they've recognized that there's going to be a requirement. So you talk about skills and how the workforce has to transform.
Mm.
Not only that, the people that are going into institutions today absolutely must go into environments that involve computer science.
Mm.
They have to. So back to the CEO, what does he do?
Mm.
Well, he has a limited pool. His data isn't in the construct that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
He's being forced by his board to do something. And at the end of the day, he does something and unfortunately it's rocky and then it fails.
Doesn't get all the results that he was looking for. So, there are many levels to this. You said government has to come through with policy and regulation to kind of spur the rest of the market on. What's your view on education, the education system? Higher education, I know there's a skill shortage. We're not producing enough. But also, are they producing the right type of skills where they are being, you know, the output is.
Artificial intelligence will disrupt anything where there are distinct frameworks.
Okay.
Let me explain to you what I mean. I have my son's best friend says he wants to be a lawyer.
Mm.
And I go to my son and say, well, by the time that individual, he's 14 by the way,
mm-hmm.
by the time you get to university, will we have lawyers? Okay, so should I go and learn law? Nothing against lawyers, by the way, guys.
Of course.
But let me explain why. Any element that has a very, very strict framework.
Yes.
Medicine, law.
Accounting.
Great example. Accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Any element that has a very, very strict framework can be ingested into an artificial intelligence model.
Uh-huh.
And so the disruption will come to those industries first.
Yes.
I can tell you now already, you can get an artificial intelligence legal expert to give you an opinion.
Yes.
A governance, you know, an opinion over a contract or whatever it may be. You can have that today. Mm-hmm. So I think, Nati, what you're asking is very, very important is, are we making sure that through the primary school system, the high school system, then into the tertiary school system, mm-hmm. are we guiding our children in the right way? Mm-hmm. Are we teaching, is there enough focus on maths and science?
Okay.
Because unfortunately, artificial intelligence is really around mathematics and statistics, right? So,
yes.
So we should be encouraging the fun part of that and leading them in a path that eventually leads them to that place where maths is actually fun.
Mm.
You know, science is fun.
Yes.
My son, 14-year-old, he is in the robotics class. You know, he's just gone into high school now, where they get given tasks, and this their own main robot has to then go and do these tasks in the correct order.
Yes.
And they have competitions for it.
Yes.
And you know, so that kind of grassroots level development, I think, helped along and maybe invested in, because those are the careers of the future: robotics, mm-hmm. artificial intelligence, and anything to do with data.
Mm.
Those are the careers that any aspiring individual should be actually looking at moving forward.
Mm.
I think going into functional type careers, I think you're going to see a big drop off in terms of that as well, because as artificial intelligence starts disrupting these industries, the need for those kind of people to do that is going to become less and less.
Yes.
The general practitioner, what does the general practitioner do?
Diagnosis,
walk in.
Yeah.
What's your heart rate? What's your blood pressure? Let me feel your temperature.
Yeah.
That's a very transactional procedural element. And I'm not saying that artificial intelligence is going to take over doctors, guys. Mm-hmm. So just hold fire there. But it will.
Yes.
Over time, it will. Exponentially, this technology is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it will. And definitively, where there are frameworks, where there are strict frameworks, it will disrupt that industry.
But more than just, I mean, it's one thing to say young people need to shift their perspective in terms of the careers they want to go to in the future. However, even in traditional careers, yes, they'll be disrupted, but there'll still be a need for them. You're still going to need way more data science skills within those. So even though you're not a pure technologist, you're going to engage with technology in some shape or
100%.
Form. And that also does mean that the education system needs to adapt to that reality.
100%. So let's go, we'll do a test.
Mm-hmm.
Go to any tertiary institution teaching law and tell me if there are any modules related to artificial intelligence.
Mm.
They might be there from a governance standpoint,
mm.
that governance that doesn't exist. You know that law that doesn't exist that I need so badly?
Yes.
Yes, that will be there.
Mm.
But you're 100% correct. How can I use artificial in a legal, transparent, ethical way
mm-hmm.
in my career that moves either the corporation that I work for forward or expands my career?
Mm.
Okay, so yes, that transformation has to happen. The transformation has to happen at primary school level, mm-hmm. has to happen at high school level, and at tertiary level as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, well, we don't do that because that's part of computer science. I'm not doing a BSc computer science.
Yes.
Guess what? There's going to be a component of that computer science. And you're right, in every single segment of business or skill set, it has to be there.
Yes.
It's going to be there because how do I compete against you if you've got a better understanding of artificial intelligence? I can't compete against you.
Yeah.
I just simply won't.
So that educational aspect is very important, that exposure.
Very, very much so.
Mm. Another aspect that I think is really spoken about are the sectoral training authorities. And these are the people, because yes, we want to train, you know, the newer generations coming into the workforce, but the people in the workforce, the people who've been here for 10, 15, 20 years, usually rely on sectoral institutions or private institutions to kind of up their skills. Do you think there's there's fast enough adaptation happening there as well.
I think you know what my answer is going to be. And my viewers know.
Jeez.
And that's why, you know, at the Institute, what we're trying to do is to create awareness. What this is it's not fear-mongering.
Yes.
That's not my intent, okay? It's actually excitement. Mm. What on earth drives a 59-year-old to do a master's in artificial intelligence at the age of 59? What?
Yeah, yeah.
It's exciting, man. It is so, so exciting.
Mm.
Yes, it's daunting. Yes, it's, you know, was I an A student in mathematics? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Was I a coder? Absolutely not. Mm. But it's just given me a different perspective in terms of how you solve problems, mm-hmm. both at work, anywhere. Mm. And I, you know, you can start seeing the applications of some of these base elements that I've learned. So really, I want to encourage people. But to answer your question, no. The people that are teaching, in fact, the people that are leading, when I say people that are leading, the professors, the doctors, the academia that are out there, they have a role to play in changing things like syllabuses at primary school, at high school, and also at a tertiary level.
Mm.
Every single tertiary institution in each of its faculties should be asking the question, what should I be incorporating in the syllabus for this particular faculty that has artificial intelligence in it?
Mm-hmm.
I had the wonderful opportunity in Dubai to attend JITx 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever attended JITx.
No.
It is something on the bucket list that any of your viewers or yourself, Nati, must do.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of Gallo Manor, our conference, big conference center in Midrand,
mm-hmm.
think of 25 times that size. 25 halls the size of Gallagher State.
Yes.
Okay. 25 different halls, packed full of technology, robotics, artificial intelligence, networking, engineering, computing, data center, whatever it may have been. Mm. And I had the wonderful opportunity of attending a sort of fireside chat between, yes, I'm going to say it, the Minister of Artificial Intelligence for the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, wow.
There's a Ministry for Artificial Intelligence.
Jeez.
Now, let's take that one step further, which absolutely shocked me. He indicated that he has chiefs of AI in every sector in government. So think of
education.
It doesn't matter if it's education. Mm. It doesn't matter if it's water,
mm-hmm.
Traffic, any of the elements that are in the metropolitan purvey. Mm.
Yes.
Dubai, Abu Dhabi, whoever it may be. Mm. Every single, if you in roadworks,
yes,
you're going to have a chief of AI in that sector that's going to guide you. How awesome is that, eh? And then you wonder why things just work in Dubai.
Mm.
Why you can walk through a gantry without even showing your passport.
Yeah. They know it's you. Yeah.
And they know that it's you. The amount of artificial intelligence and data science that's behind that is enormous.
Mm.
Okay? But it's because it's been inculcated into the public sector. There's a chief AI that's there that's constantly in meetings that are looking for opportunities to deploy technology to do what? To make the community's environment easier, better, more enjoyable. And their mantra is the following. You should never, ever be aware of the artificial intelligence.
Of course.
That's a big, big mantra for them. Mm. A great example, as I've indicated, is the intelligent ID system coming through Dubai Airport. Mm-hmm. You enjoy it because it's convenient. You don't have to stand in the line anymore. You don't have to wait for that guy that doesn't want to greet you. And then, the whole stamp and check you as though you're a criminal, that whole horrible feeling.
Yes.
It's gone. You walk up, you look at a green light, there's a camera there. You either have your Emirates ID, or if you aren't registered in the Emirates, then obviously just the passport just gets put, just your facial area, just put it onto a panel,
mm-hmm.
and the gate's open.
Jeez.
And that's real. That's happening right now. So, for the viewers and for the listeners, get to JITx if you can.
Mm-hmm.
JITx is actually going global now. It used to only be in the GCC, in the UAE.
Yes.
I think there's one in Kenya coming up very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going all over the world. So they're trying to get this technology conference to all parts of the world, and everything is, everyone's talking artificial intelligence. Okay.
So clearly the mindset shift in South Africa needs to be a recognition of the importance of this technology and how unavoidable it is actually.
My concern, and I'm going to state this on the record, I have a great concern for what are we going to do? Unemployment is already at, I think it's 29-30%, somewhere around there. Once these technologies do in fact have an impact on workers, how are we going to support the workers that can't get work? Okay, we can't support them right now, but this technology is going to move that forward very, very, very fast. Mm-hmm. How can we use the labor force? How can we upskill the labor force? Mm-hmm. How can we create jobs? I know that's a very, very big element today in our society. Mm-hmm. So artificial intelligence through its automation, yes, it will. People are going to lose their jobs if they don't transform.
Okay.
And that's the key thing once again. So even if you're unemployed, hit YouTube and type AI.
Yes.
Educate yourself. Mm. You might be surprised that you bump into someone at some point and you engage with them and you start a conversation and technology comes up and the person looks at you and says, no, I actually want you in my business.
Yes.
You know, it's as simple as that. So it doesn't cost anything to educate yourself today. Mm. There is so much courseware out there on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, any social channel that you would normally be on anyway. Mm. Okay, there's so much information out there. Governments in other parts of the world that have actually taken and embraced this technology are doing amazing things for their communities. Mm. For the folk that go to Dubai, you'll feel it. Mm. You'll feel it. Hmm. Why does the train arrive on time? Well, there's data involved in that. Hmm. Why do the speed displays on the highway change speed limits? Uh-huh. Because there's artificial intelligence and cameras that are constantly looking at traffic flow.
Yes.
Weather conditions change. Hmm. Speed limit changes.
Jeez.
These things are happening dynamically. This is the kind of technology that's inculcated into. There's obviously been a chief of AI in, I think they call it RTL, which is
their roads
segment, who has now deployed some technology that actually does that, makes it safer for the community. So this is where the true impact of artificial intelligence is coming through.
Anthony, you did mention that it's not all doom and gloom, right? No. This actually represents an opportunity for the people who do take this seriously and do adapt. You know, what kind of opportunities are there then as an AI-empowered worker in the skills force?
I think it's massive. Mm. It's absolutely enormous. And I think you talked earlier on about CVs. Mm. You have something related to artificial intelligence that you have, either an accreditation or you've attended a workshop or whatever, and that CV arrives on the table of the person that's being employed or that's looking to employ someone, and they put the three or four CVs. I can assure you the one that has any form of artificial intelligence on it will win that job because what is, you know, we're living in a capitalist society, right? Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of artificial intelligence? Efficiency, productivity, lower of cost. In fact, you can invite me back and just talk about that one, which is very, very, you have conflicting views around, you know, is artificial intelligence cheap or not? And in fact, is it actually bringing the business case that enterprises are looking for? That in itself is a conversation that we can have.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, there are very, very much two views around that, and I can explain some of that. But you have any form of data science, artificial intelligence, machine learning.
Yes.
Good scores in mathematics, man. Mm. To the children, if they are listening.
Yes.
Be passionate about mathematics. I promise you, you will see later on in your life that everything relies on mathematics. Mm. And so for the mathematics teachers out there, thank you very much.
Okay. Awesome. Anthony, That was some great insights. Thank you so much for your time.
It's an absolute pleasure and honor. Thank you very, very much for the invite. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really appreciate it. If I could just, if you don't mind, just put out a word for the CIOs that are out there, or anyone that's involved in the technical environment in any of the enterprises, mm-hmm. please come and look at IIT PSA as an institute. Mm-hmm. It's like-minded individuals. We do such great things. Mm-hmm. The memberships are not that expensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to encourage people, just hit the website, iitpsa.org. Mm-hmm. Go and have a look there. And I'd love to welcome anyone that is interested in coming and joining us.
Excellent.
Thank you very, very much, Nati. Thank you.
That is Anthony Makins. He is the COO of TForge and the chair of the Special Group of AI and Robotics at the Institute of IT Professionals, South Africa.